Hey friends, Pastor Josh Sefko here, lead pastor at Flat Creek Baptist Church in Fayetteville, Georgia. For almost 20 years, I've served in local church ministry. It's been a joy, honor, and privilege, and through the years, I've learned some things and met some people along life's journey that I want to introduce to you. I want to bring in voices from all over the country that will help equip you as we dig deep into God's Word, as we open up dialogue and talk about some of the things we really wrestle with in our walk with Christ. We're going to be talking about spiritual formation, how to pray, how to develop a witnessing lifestyle, to share your faith, to grow in your faith, most importantly, to grow in that grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you join us each month. Well, hello, friends. I am so excited for this episode. It's spring forward, and I can't think of a better person to have in this new spring season than my friend, Dr. Kerry Skinner. Welcome, Dr. Skinner.
Thank you, Josh. It's good to be with you today.
Dr. Skinner has pastored. He served in all different sorts of churches and sizes. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your pastoral journey?
Well, it's amazing. I started with real small churches. My first church after college had 16 members. One of the larger churches that I was the executive teaching pastor was First Baptist West Palm Beach. They had about 10,000 members. And then I served in churches all in between there. So what's good for me is I can relate to just about any size church.
So you've pastored in Georgia, you've pastored in Texas, you've pastored in
Florida, Alabama.
Alabama. And you've had an opportunity to see and be with a lot of different people through your years of ministry. How many years have you been in the ministry?
About 45. You know,
45 years.
I'm getting old enough, I can't remember, Josh.
And your sweet wife, Miss Elaine, and
yes.
She served as children's director in churches
she
as well.
She sure did. In several churches where we served, she was in that role.
Well, friends, I want to tell you a very specific journey that I got introduced to Dr. Skinner on, and it was through Think Life Change. It's the counseling ministry that you are the president of, along with Allison Vieze.
Vieze.
Allison Vieze, such gifted counselors as well. And where did you get your training at?
Well, you know, I got my master's at Southwestern Seminary, my doctorate at Gordon-Conwell out of Boston area. My undergraduate was in Kentucky at a Baptist school, Campbellsville.
Yeah. And so how long have you been counseling folks?
Actively since 1990.
What drew you to counseling?
Well, it was as a pastor. What I discovered was I didn't look for a role of a counselor, but as being a pastor in different positions, it just seemed like people would come to me and they would ask me questions about, you know, Kerry, can you help me with my marriage? I'm having trouble. And many times these people were 10 or 15 years older than me. And I didn't know any better except to just go to the scriptures and try to find an answer to help them.
Well, what a great place to go to find help, the living, breathing Word of God. I remember Dr. Wayne Burnham in Augusta, Georgia. I was serving at a church there, and he was a counselor as well. And it was after a Sunday morning service, he came up to me and said, I want to see you in my office this week. I thought, oh, Lord, he saw something on me. Because a lot of us, when we think counseling, we think, oh, and here's what he said. I'll never forget it. He said, every pastor needs to have preventative measures in their life with a counselor.
Yeah.
And I've never forgotten it. It has been over 10 years ago, and he was so right on the money. And I would say that's just not good for pastors. That could be good for absolutely every. You're talking about the living Word of God.
Right.
Meeting our everyday life with challenges and struggles and hangups that we all face. And I've just found that to be great counsel. And that's how actually we got connected was through the hurts and hangups of just serving in any local church ministry. It's bound to happen. It can be death by 1,000 paper cuts in a lot of ways. But how I was introduced to you guys was I came as a participant in need. And you did that very thing in my life. You opened up the Word of God, and I found that I was having headaches. I found I was exhausted. I found I was frustrated, and I thought I was having physical complications. Mm-hmm. But you were so kind to me on that day just to ask me what's going on at the church and walk me through your own journey. And we found there's a lot of parallels there, but really what I needed was repentance.
Yes.
I didn't need a doctor. I didn't need medicine. I simply needed to go to God and confess that I was being a man pleaser and not a God pleaser.
Yeah. Well, it's the place we should turn to first. We may have physical problems as well as spiritual problems, but if sin is your problem, there's no human remedy for that.
Ooh, say that again.
If sin is your problem, there is no human remedy. Only Jesus can deal with sin problems. So what happens often in our day is we turn to the world to try to find relief from our problems. And yet if it's a sin problem, we fail to turn to the source we should. You know, modern day psychology has been around a little over 200 years. The Bible's been around a lot longer than that. And so there's wisdom to be found there in dealing with everyday, practical, real-life issues.
So when you talk about repentance in a sin issue, can you kind of flesh through that a little bit for our listeners and those who are joining us? What do you mean by that?
Well, first of all, in our day, I believe confession of sin is common, but repentance is rare. And so people tend to say what their problem is, but they don't change. Biblically, John the Baptist came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then the first message that Jesus came preaching in his public ministry was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." After he was raised from the dead and before he went back to heaven, his last words on earth to his disciples were these: "Preach repentance for the remission of sins." It's the core message of Jesus that we've gotten away from. Repentance requires a total change of heart, mind, attitude, spirit. You're not the same after you truly repent, and you will discover that by what you do next. So, a lot of people deal with confession. God, forgive me. But then they have no intention of changing. They just want the guilt of their sin removed. And so what we really need to see is people not only forgiven, but cleansed and empowered to walk in the Spirit.
So repentance isn't just for the non-believer.
No, no. Think about this. A lot of people think repentance is just for a lost person to get saved. But the Old Testament prophets were preaching to God's people, repent and return. Or look at Jesus in Revelation. He spoke to seven local congregations. These were believers. And he kept saying to them to repent and begin doing the first works. So repentance, I believe, biblically, is spoken about more to the believer than to the unbeliever.
Hmm. You have written extensively on this. You've written The Joy of Repentance. You've written The Heart of the Problem. You've served with Dr. Henry Blackaby for 9 years as his assistant, traveling all over the world and country. And can you walk us through just a little bit more deeper dive of The Heart of the Problem, I think, is the book I see the most come out of your work. Can you walk us through a little bit of that?
Yeah. What happens when you're going through a difficulty in life? You're tending to look outside of yourself for the problem. It's those people. It's my parents. It's my background. It's my environment. It's my lack of education, or it's where I did get to go to school. And so Jesus came along in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 and following, and he said this, and I'm paraphrasing at this point: what comes out of your mouth or your life proceeds from your heart, and no man can put it there. So we're saying our problem is everybody else, and Jesus is saying our problem is our heart. So it's true that a lot of people may treat you wrong, poorly, but it doesn't mean you have to live poorly. It's kind of amazing what a low standard of Christian living we're willing to put up with. And so what Christ wants us to do is see our own heart, and repentance takes place between us and Him. And then when He cleans us up, He also empowers us with His Spirit so that now we can walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. So the Heart of the Problem book is more of a discipleship book that we use in counseling to help a person learn how to use the Scripture to reveal the condition of their heart, how to walk through the process of repentance, and begin to learn in a deeper way than ever how to walk in the Spirit.
How have you seen God use the Heart of the Problem, or how are you seeing God show up in your counseling sessions using the Scriptures?
Well, I just met with a gentleman recently that he said to me after 4 weeks through the study and through our weekly appointment, he said, "I don't understand what's happening to me. I have a totally different view on life than I did have. Before, I was dealing with all of these immoral, impure thoughts, sexual sins." He said, "Now I can't get my mind off of God. I'm thinking about Him all day long." And what he did was he discovered the sin problems. He walked through the process of repentance. Then he started getting on a regular basis of feeding on God's Word. All of a sudden, his whole mind is beginning to change. So we see that often. We see marriages put back together. We've seen people who were divorced, came in through counseling, and were remarried. We've seen people who were on drugs and alcohol for 26 years that are set free. So it's amazing because, again, Josh, remember this. Sin is the issue, not the person. It's sin in the person. Now, if you can get the sin cleansed, then you can have a total different outlook on life, which is a renewing of the mind.
Yeah, and I want to go back to what you shared just a moment ago, too, about many people seeking relief, and we're not downplaying medicine.
No.
Because there's a need for that, but I think what we are observing is there's an abuse to medicate too quickly.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
It is.
Is that too strong to say?
And I have medical doctors, a psychiatrist who's been through our training, and they would say the same. They would say, look, medication can relieve people, but they are in agreement that if sin is the problem in the heart, they may need medication because of a physical problem, but you can't ignore the spiritual heart. So sometimes a person is sick, sometimes they're sinful, sometimes they're both. And if they're both, you need to treat both.
In that process of repentance, let's drill down a little bit here on that, because I know we alluded to it earlier, but just drill down a little bit, because you actually have a process in your book of what repentance looks like. Well, really, you've just brought the Scriptures. You just kind of daylighted the Scriptures and explained what
Absolutely.
They meant. And why don't you just kind of walk us
through
that?
Well, we give what's called a five-step process of repentance. And in that, the first step is to say to God, "God, I'm wrong." So people don't like to admit when they're wrong.
Ooh, you're getting to it right on step one.
They like to admit when other people are wrong, but not when they're wrong. So the first step, if you're truly going to repent, you have to see, "I have sinned against God. I'm wrong." And if you're saying, "I'm wrong, but so are they," you're not yet ready for repentance. You're still looking for relief to make yourself feel better, to find other people who are wrong. The second step is to say to God, "God, I'm sorry. I've sinned." And this is not, "I'm sorry I got caught." This is not, "Man, this is getting me in trouble. How can I get out of this?" This is what Paul talks about in Corinthians when he talks about there's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. You can't have a godly sorrow unless God gives it to you, and you'll never see your sin from God's perspective until you're ready to repent. But then he grants that godly sorrow that leads you to turn from it. The third step we talk about is to say, God, forgive me. Not only am I wrong and I'm sorry, God, but God, would you forgive me? Would you begin our relationship the way it ought to be, the way it used to be? But what a lot of Christians do, they fail at this point. They get to God, forgive me, and then they say, God, I'm praying this prayer, forgive me of my sins. Now, God, no matter what happens tomorrow, I'm not going to act that way again. The problem is that's behavior modification. I'm not going to act that way. Okay, a Christian life has nothing to do with your strength. It is Christ in you. So if you're going to truly repent, it's not acting, it's being. The fourth step is to say, God, cleanse me of my sin. So it's more than getting forgiveness from God. It's having your debt erased by God, letting you start all over fresh and new. Now, the problem is God can forgive us and cleanse us, but now we've got to face what our past characters left behind. And so that's step five, God empower me, which means, God, I don't have the ability to get rid of these issues, but I need your spirit to help me know what to do next.
I heard you share this in a talk you were given several weeks ago, that you felt like most Christians get stopped on the third step in this process.
Yes.
And can you speak to what is worldly sorrow versus godly sorrow?
Yes. Judas and Peter would be two perfect examples. Simon Peter did deny Christ. We know he truly changed in repentance because the next time we see him, he's preaching the greatest message in the New Testament, and people are willing to listen to him. Now, if people knew that as pastor, you had denied Christ this week, they probably don't want to listen to you Sunday. But they were there listening. So Simon had a changed life. But Judas, he was sorrowful that he had betrayed Christ. He went away sorrowful. But it wasn't a godly sorrow. It was a worldly sorrow, and it led to death. And that's what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 7. He said that there is a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. It's not repentance, but it leads to it. And worldly sorrow brings death. So if you say, I'm sorry to someone you've offended, and they say, well, I forgive you, but tomorrow you do the same thing to them again, and they say, I forgive you, do that about 5 days in a row and see where that relationship goes. That relationship will die. That's a worldly sorrow. But a godly sorrow is one that leads to a change of life. Hmm.
Dr. Skinner, I'm seeing God open up doors for you all over the state of Georgia, now partnering with the Georgia Baptist Mission Board and helping pastors and churches and staffs, but you continue to help families. Is there any words of wisdom or points of contact that you'd like to add here as we conclude our time together? Well, what would you like to just encourage family members, church members, pastors, and friends when you consider Think Life Change and this five-step process of repentance? Why don't you speak into that?
Well, one of the ways, if they were interested, for example, in that book, The Heart of the Problem, to use in their own life personally, those are available at thinklifechange.com. We have a full bookstore there with our resources. But there's also a lot of free articles there they can read that deal with some of the issues of their life. So the website would be a good place for them to get oriented to the message and find some available resources. Some of the things we've talked about today are available as free audio downloads there at that website in much more detail. So that's a way that you can connect with us. send us an email. Let us know how God used the message in your life.
And you're on social?
Yeah.
Facebook
and Instagram, yes. You can find us, Think Life Change, but also Think Life Change books, and see some of the resources that are available there.
Friends, I am a satisfied customer myself, and I want you to know that this message of the heart of the problem and God daylighting our sin issue, and He's so gracious that He's given us His Word to walk through these five stages of repentance together. I'm wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. God cleanse me, and God empower me over my sin. I hope that this has been a benefit to every one of our listeners. I know that, Dr. Skinner, you've been a great benefit to my life, and I want to thank you for being on here today.
Thank you, Josh. It's good to be with you.
God bless you, my friend. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe, share, even drop a review. I hope this episode has been an encouragement for you, and I invite you to tune in next time as we seek to continue this dialogue. And let's remember Psalm 96, verse 2. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim His salvation from day to day.